Amen. Let's turn to the Gospel of John this morning. We're going to be in chapter 18 and part of chapter 19 as well this morning. Remember that chapters 18, we stepped out of the high priestly prayer of Jesus in John 17, and then 18 through 21 record the betrayal of Jesus, the arrest of Jesus, the trial of Jesus, and then, of course, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and then the restoration of Peter in chapter 21. We left off with the Lord last Sunday, and if you weren't here, you need to pick up that message in the bookstore, or you listen to it live online, or listen to it rather online. And you know, the Lord, they came to arrest him, and they asked him if he was Jesus of Nazareth, and he says, I am. Not I am he. He's not in the Greek. It's I am. I am Almighty God. I'm the Eternal One. I'm the Alpha, the O, and the Omega. Amen? And you know what happened to those 600 soldiers that Judas brought along with the temple police. The moment that Jesus said, I am that I am that I am, what happened? Man, they were laid low. Can you just, I mean, there's something, I don't know what it is, but do you see over 600 people just piled on top of one another? They didn't even know what hit them. You know what I mean? And the reason is because Jesus is in charge. Man is not in charge of God. Amen? No, Jesus gave them permission to arrest him. And remember what he said? He said, you can have me, but my disciples you cannot have. In other words, Jesus told the Romans who they could arrest and who they could not arrest from last week's message. Listen, the Lord is always in control. He is never out of control. We live in a world that's out of control. Amen? But you know what? He is our God. He knows everything that is happening. So this morning, as we look at this chapter, the remainder of chapter 18, listen carefully. Jesus's hour has now come. And he is going to, there in the darkness of that early Friday Passover morning, he is now going, as we already learned, betrayed into the hands of sinful men. Now, with all that being said, I want us to look at how Jesus was bound and how Jesus was led, and we're going to go through the trials rather quickly, but then I want to make application that pertains to all of us toward the end of the message. Let's begin, though, in chapter 18. Look at verse 12 with me. It says, and then the detachment of troops and the captain of the officers of the Jews, they arrested, or literally they seized Jesus, and what did they do to him? They bound him. They bound Jesus with what? Probably the leather that God had made himself, created, and the hands that Jesus had made, the human hands, they bound the Lord. Now, verse 12 says they bound him. Verse 13 says they led Jesus away. Very important words. And we say, well, Bill, why is that? Well, remember John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the true Passover Lamb. Amen? He's getting ready to go to the cross and die for the sins, our sins, the sins of the world. So in verse 12, again, he was bound. Verse 13, he was being led away, which speaks of a sacrificial offering. You see, it says in Psalm 118:27, it says, bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. That is speaking of course, sacrifices that the Jews made at that time, but that is a Passover, if you will, passage. And then they did something else. They led Jesus away. Leviticus 17, chapter 5, tells us that the sacrifices, when they were bringing the sacrifices, they would lead the sacrifice first to the priest. And Jesus is now being led to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now, with all that being said, remember Isaiah 53:7, that Jesus, speaking of the Messiah, that he was led like sheep to the slaughter. There he is, what is happening right before our eyes. Verse 13, and they led Jesus away to Annas first, for his father-in-law, or he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. And now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one should die for the people. So they led him to Annas first. Only John tells us about that. So he is an ex-high priest, if you will. Caiaphas is now officially the high priest. That tells us two things. Number one, it tells us that the Jews are not in control of the priesthood any longer. because you had to be from the line of Aaron. And not only that, when you became high priest, it was for your entire lifetime. So we know that the Romans are now in charge of all of this. And we also know that when Annas, or Jesus, was being led to Annas, there Caiaphas was now gathering the Sanhedrin so they could give Jesus a trial, if you will, a horrible trial, not a fair trial. You know, God's the only person that's going to get, or the only one that's going to give man a fair trial, you know. And so while he was going to Annas, now Caiaphas is putting together the Sanhedrin to put together a kangaroo court for the Lord, if you will. We met him all the way back in chapter 11 at the raising of Lazarus, in chapter 11, verse 53, when they plotted together, Caiaphas and all the rest of them, to put Jesus to death. What a horrible thing that they were doing. Now, we're not going to cover, if you don't mind, Peter's denial in these chapters. We're going to cover that when we get to his restoration in chapter 21, the Lord willing. So drop down to verse 19 with me. And it says, "The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. And Jesus answered him, 'I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues, in the temple, where the Jews always meet, and in secret I've said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said.' And when he had said these things, they said, 'You bet, I'm going to go ask those people.' No, look what happened. One of the officers who stood by him struck Jesus, or hit him with the palm of his hand, saying, 'Do you answer the high priest like that?' I would say, do you smite the great high priest like that?" Think of that for a moment. Dear Lord. In other words, he hit the Lord because he was saying, "Who are you to open your mouth and say and tell the high priest how to conduct a trial?" Well, first of all, this was an illegal trial, and under the law of Moses, or actually the Mishnah, it said this, that the high priest, he couldn't even ask a question of those who were being tried and so forth. So this was, like I said, it was a kangaroo court, and Jesus knew that. He knew that this trial had absolutely no merit. He knew that witnesses, according to the law, they should have been present. He also knew that it was never convened at night, and it was still nighttime. It wasn't day, and he also knew that a trial should never take place during any of the religious festivals, and it was Passover. Now, with all that being said, it was even illegal, according to Jewish law, to strike someone at the trial who is being tried before the punishment or the verdict was even given. And that's exactly what he did. He slapped the face of God. Did you ever wonder why the Lord allowed that? I mean, the hands that he made hit the Lord right in the face. The God-man, the sinless Son of God, allowed a sinful hand to smite him. You know, every time I have read that in my entire walk with the Lord, I've always said, "Lord, I hope that man repented. I hope he believed upon you. Because if not, he is going to face you again one day at the great white throne judgment." Amen. Can you imagine showing up and looking in the face of the one that you slapped? The judge of all men? No. Look at verse 23. And Jesus answered him. He says, "If I've spoken evil," okay, "bear witness of the evil." In other words, if this is really a court of law, go out, bring the witnesses here, and prove what you're saying. "But if well, why do you strike me?" Why did you hit me? Because it was illegal for them to do that. You know, Jesus is on trial then, but you know that Jesus is still on trial today in the hearts of every person that doesn't know him, amen? In every nation on earth. You know, I look at the horrible tragedy there in Florida again, another senseless slaughter of the innocent. And you know, and I know these students mean well. I know that they're going to have a march on Washington. And you know, everybody's marching today. You know what I mean? There's 1,000 voices out there. But the problem with all the voices is that the major voices that are in our land today is not the voice of righteousness. It is the voice of sin. Sin has been given preeminence in our nation. Do you understand? And you know, here they are, they're in school, and you know what's really wrong with schools today is that they voted Jesus out of the schools. Do you understand? That's where the real problem lies. In other words, you can't even speak the name of Jesus unless you want to use God and Jesus as a cuss word in school. Now, you can do that, but don't say Jesus is Lord. Don't say he's the only way. Don't say that he loves you and he'll save you. Don't bring your Bible. Oh, don't say thou shalt not murder. Do you understand? We are living in times we need that revival. You know, and then look what happens here. It says, and then Annas sent him bound, there's that word again, led, now bound, to Caiaphas the high priest. So now a second trial from now to Caiaphas. Now, here in Matthew's gospel, if we went over and read that, we would realize this is before he got there, before the Lord arrived. Remember what they did to him. They blindfolded him. They beat him about the face. Prophesy unto us. Who smite thee? And so forth. They spit upon him. And so now they're taking him to the priest here, the high priest. And look at verse 28. And then they led, there's that word, they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium. Now that would be the official home, if you will, of Pontius Pilate. And it was early morning, meaning it was the fourth watch of the night, which was from 3 to 6. It was probably really close to 6 o'clock. The sun was probably getting ready to come up because no Roman court could convene at night. They always had to be in the daylight hours. And so, but they themselves, they didn't go into Pilate's house or the praetorium. And here's the reason, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Is that the saddest word in the word, in God's word? Here the religious people representing the Lord, evidently God, who knew God's word. And yet they wouldn't set foot in a Gentile's house because they didn't want to be rendered unclean. And yet in their hearts, they hate the Lord. They want to put him to death. They want nothing to do with him. So while, and plus they're setting up an illegal court to even try him. What, how sad. They were defiled in my eyes from head to toe. Amen. Now, and then Pilate, he went out. They wouldn't come in, so he went out to them and said, well, what accusation do you bring against this man? In other words, what is the formal charge? And they answered and said to him, well, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. I think that is so wicked from the heart of man. Did you hear what they just called our Lord? They called him an evildoer. You know what that word means literally in the Greek? One who goes about and does evil over and over and over again. That's not what the Bible teaches about our Lord. Peter, after Pentecost, remember what he said in Acts 10:38? Jesus, who went about doing good. He never did an evil thing. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed the multitudes. He loves people. He loves us. Thank God for that. And then Pilate said to him, you take him, speaking to the Jews now, the religious rulers, you take him and you judge him according to your law. Therefore, the Jews said to him, it's not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying by what death he would die. In other words, see, the Jews, the only way they could put the means of putting someone to death would be by stoning. Okay, but the Romans, they could crucify. They didn't want to stone Jesus. They wanted him to suffer the most wicked and horrible death that they could. And Jesus knew that if he be lifted up, meaning on the cross, he would draw all people unto him. Now, we get to our text this morning. We have five questions from Pilate, and they need to be understood. Let me just read five of the questions. Pilate says to Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? First question. Second question. What have you done? Third, am I a Jew? Four, are you a king then? What is truth? And then one more I add, do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Verse 33, then Pilate entered into the praetorium again, and he called Jesus and said, are you the king of the Jews? Now listen, all four Gospels record that statement or question, are you the king of the Jews? And in each of them, as it is written in the Greek, It's Pilate is literally blown away. He speaks those words with utter astonishment because here is Jesus standing before him. He is bound. He is bloody. He has been beaten. He doesn't look like a king in the eyes of Pilate. And he's going, come on. I mean, this is a joke, you know, and so forth. I don't see any royalty in you at all. And Jesus said to Pilate, are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you this concerning me? What did Jesus just do? He switched gears, didn't he? He turned the tables. In other words, Pilate is now on trial. Jesus is no longer on trial. He says, did you hear about me? Did somebody tell you? In other words, someone had to tell Pilate about Jesus. I mean, Jerusalem had been in an uproar. Remember, Jesus came in riding on a donkey on the day of the triumphal entry, and all the thousands and thousands were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, save now. And so here he's in there, and it says, and Pilate said to him, he's mocking Jesus, he says, am I a Jew? Your own nation and your chief priests, they have rejected you or turned on you or delivered you to me. What have you done? Another question. What's your real crime? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. They would fight. Literally, it would read, they would be fighting right now. They would continue to fight. But he said, so that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now, well, my kingdom is not from here. Jesus is saying, you know, Pilate, listen, I came, but they didn't want me. I wasn't the type of Messiah that they wanted. They wanted a militant Messiah, if you will, one that would conquer Rome and so forth. And so it says in verse 37, and Pilate said to him, well, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, well, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born. For this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate had absolutely no idea that he was looking into the face of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, the God-man who is about to go to the cross and die for all of mankind's sin. Jesus said, for this cause I was born. That's his humanity. For this cause I came, meaning from heaven, his deity. In other words, Jesus is saying, this is my destiny, Pilate. This is why I am here. Did you hear the invitation that Jesus gave unto Pilate? He said to him, he said, you know what? Everyone who is of the truth, Pilate, hears my voice. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Amen. Pilate had it. I mean, right there, that wonderful invitation about the truth. Now watch this. And Pilate said to him, well, what is truth? Well, we know the answer to that. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the truth. Amen. So what is truth? And when Pilate had said this, look what he did, though. He went out, he left the praetorium, he left Jesus. He went out again to the Jews and said to them, hey, I find no fault in him at all. Pilate leaves behind the bloody, beaten, bound body of our Lord. And he missed the greatest opportunity that had ever been given. He asked a question we have all asked. What is truth? He was looking into the embodiment of truth, our Lord. Do you understand? I mean, he said, what is truth? And what did Pilate do? He didn't wait for the answer. He just said, well, what is truth? Was he mocking? I don't know. And he turns around. He leaves Jesus. Jesus didn't get a chance to respond. He goes out to the Jews, and here's what he said. I don't find anything, not one reason, not any fault in this man. You see, the other Gospels tell us that Jesus, he knew that Jesus had been delivered unto him because they envied him. They wanted to do away with him and so forth. Jesus should have been set free because he said the highest law of the land at that time said, there's nothing, he's innocent. He has done nothing. I find he has not broken any Roman law or any Jewish law. He should have set him free, but look what he did. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews? And then they all cried again, saying, oh, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Now, listen carefully. It's incredible. You know, I hate to see when you're reading something, it says they all cried, but that all cried, what does that mean? Because sometimes when they translate the original languages into our language, it loses its meaning. Do you understand? Or it doesn't mean what it would mean in, say, in the original. It literally means that word, that word all cried is actually used in the early Greek writings as that of a howling of dogs. I mean, just a roaring and a howling. It was like they were one horrible mob, and just like a demonic mob calling out like an animal, saying, all of them cried, don't give us this man. We want a robber. And if you read the rest of the Gospels, he was not only a robber, he was a well-known felon, he was an insurrectionist, but he was also a murderer. Barabbas, in that language, is Aramaic. You know, when we say Abba, what does that mean? Father. Okay, Barabba. Okay, son of the Father. That's what that meant, son of the Father. Jesus is the Son of God, Son of the Father. Isn't it, what a play on words that is used right there. Now, I don't know, but you know, I wonder if the cross that was made for Barabbas is the one that was given to Christ. If so, the just dying for the unjust, just like it was supposed to be, amen? Now, here's what I want you to get out of this morning. And, you know, I asked the Lord after I taught the first service, I said, Lord, am I not making it clear? But when I saw this last night, when I was finishing, or this morning, actually finishing this up, I started saying, Lord, this is incredible to me. Okay, listen, man betrayed Jesus. Man arrested Jesus. Man bound Jesus. Man led Jesus. Man brought him to Annas. They brought him to Caiaphas. They brought him to Pilate. The religious rulers, the Jews, Pilate representing the Gentiles. Now listen carefully. They believed with all of their mental faculties, everything in their heart. They truly believed, trial after trial after trial, they really believed that Jesus' destiny was in their hands. Do you understand? They really believed that they were in control of this man, our Savior. You know, it says there, if you'll look in chapter 19, look at that with me, and look at verse 10. It says in verse 10 of 19, then Pilate said to Jesus, are you not speaking to me? And look what he says to Jesus. Do you not know that I have power, I have the authority to crucify you, to nail you to a cross, and power or authority to release you? Look what Jesus said. You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from where? From above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you, meaning the Jews, has the greater sin. And of course, from then on, Pilate said, I want to release this man. Listen, who was in control? Jesus was in control of his own destiny. You know, he was in custody, and the religious rulers, boy, did they want to crucify him? Oh, just read the rest of 19 and you'll see that. But you know, there's something that happened when Paul, writing to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 6:13, he said this to Timothy. He says, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Now, what is or what was Jesus's good confession in the face of Pilate? Look back with me there at verse 36. Jesus told Pilate again, he says, my kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would be fighting so that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom's not from here. Pilate therefore said, well, are you a king then? Jesus said, well, you rightly say I am, for this cause I was born, this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Now listen, Jesus looks into the face of the Roman governor Pilate, and he says, you know, you're a ruler, but you're not the ultimate ruler. And your kingdom, your Caesar Augustus, is not the ultimate king. I am. I've come from my kingdom. My kingdom rules over all. Are you following me? Okay, listen. Jesus said, for this cause, Pilate, for this cause I was born, the virgin birth. For this cause I came into this world. I was sent from heaven by God the Father. That's what Jesus, when he said that about his destiny, what in the world was Jesus really saying? Listen, loved one, the Lord is teaching us an incredible truth here. Jesus is saying to Pilate, he's saying to every generation, he's saying to us today, he's saying, Pilate, listen to me. That which is happening around me right now by you, all the Jews, everything that's happening, he says, you're not controlling 1 second of my destiny. Not 1 second. Do you understand that? Jesus, did he willfully of his own volition give himself up? Absolutely. In other words, could they have bound Jesus had he not wanted them to bound? No, could he not have called 12 legions of angels immediately? Amen. Listen, he's God. He said, you think, Pilate, this is a one-on-one conversation with this man. Do you think for a minute that you have power over me? Do you think you have power over my destiny? No, listen. He says, you know, what did Jesus do when he said in chapter 18, there in verse 9, he was talking, he said, do you, if he was talking like the Pilate, he could have said, what about my disciples? I said, you guys, you're soldiers. I said, you can arrest me. You're not going to touch these. You let them go. Why? And if you read it all, it says that scripture might be fulfilled that he lost none. Amen? See, Jesus is in control. Jesus, this is his destiny. And you know, he could say to Pilate, do you know why you're going to crucify me, Pilate? Do you know why you're going to allow that to happen? That was, remember back in chapter 18, verse 32, signifying what death he would die? Because Jesus told him how he was going to die. He was going to go to the cross. He told his disciples that he was going to go to the cross. See, no one controls the destiny of our Lord. Do you see that? And I look and I say, oh God. And look what it says in chapter 19, verse 1. What does it say? And they, what did they do to the Lord? They scourged him. They scourged him. They took the Roman lictor's lash full of that lead and glass and bone, and they ripped out his back. It was wicked what they did. But you know what? Do you know why that they did that? Do you know? I mean, he could look at Pilate, he can tell us today, do you know why they spit in my face? Do you know why they ripped my back open? Do you know why they grabbed my beard and they plucked it out, my beard from my face? You know why you think you're in control while you're doing that? You think that I'm just putty in your hands? No. No, the Bible says in Isaiah 50, verse 6, I gave, that means of my own volition, willingly, about the Messiah, this 800-year-old prophecy. It says, I gave my back to those who struck me, meaning the scourging. I gave my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard, meaning of my own volition. You didn't do it. I allowed you to do it. Are you following me? He says, I gave. I didn't hide my face from you. No, I didn't hide it. I didn't even turn away when you spit upon me. See, God's word says that's what's going to happen. Do you understand? That's exactly what happened. Jesus could have looked at Pilate and said, you know what, Pilate, in a few hours, you know what you're going to do to me? You're going to put me on the cross, and your soldiers, they're going to take my garment. They're going to take my tunic that doesn't have a seam in it. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to gamble or cast lots, if you will, for that. That's chapter 19, there, verse 23 and 24. You know, look at it with me. It says, therefore, the chief priest and the Jews said to Pilate, don't write on the king of the Jews. And let me see. No, verse 23, I'm sorry. And then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, they took his garments, made four parts to each a soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top into one piece. And they said, therefore, among themselves, let us not tear it, but let us cast lots or gamble for it. Whose shall it be? Now, why did they do that? Because they were in control? Because they were over Jesus's destiny? No, that scripture might be fulfilled, which says they divided my garments among them, and my clothing they cast lots for. What were they doing? They were fulfilling Psalm 22, 18. No, Jesus knew exactly what, he knows all things. No, in a few hours, you're going to hear there in a moment, what next time we are in John, I thirst. It was all, everything that the Lord did. Listen, he of his own volition gave up the ghost, amen, on the cross. He could look at Pilate and say, you know what, Pilate, you know what you're going to do, what's going to happen after I die on the cross? The Jews are going to come to you, and they're going to say, this is preparation day, the Passover. You need to get them off the cross. Go out there and break all of their legs so they'll die quickly. In other words, they'll suffocate to death and take them down. Well, you know what? If you read in chapter 19, 31 through 37, you'll realize that when they came to the Lord, what happened? Was he already dead? He was already dead. Amen. Did they break his legs? No, they didn't. But they did do something else. They took a spear, plunged it into his side. Out came blood and water. And if you'll keep reading, it says that scripture might be fulfilled. Why didn't they break his legs anyway? Just, I'm going to break them. Why didn't they do that? Because he was the Passover lamb. Exodus chapter 12, I don't know, verse 46, right now, not a bone of the lamb would be broken. Do you understand? They weren't in control. They're not in control of our Lord for 1 second. He of his own love, of his own volition for you and for me, allowed that to happen to him. Pilate, he said to him, to Pilate, Jesus said, for this cause, man, I was born. For this cause, I came into the world. And that which is happening and going to happen around me, all the things that you're going to do, all the things that the Jews are going to do, when they stand out there and start wagging their heads at me and, you know, if you be the Christ, then come down and save yourself and save us. All the things they're going to do has absolutely no control over my life, my death, or my destiny. They don't control that. No one controls the destiny of the Son of the living God. Amen. That's so important to see that. And now you say, now, Bill, why? It's because, listen, you are a believer in Christ. Amen. Okay, listen carefully now. There's not a person in here that doesn't go through issues in life, warfare, hurt, sometimes horrible circumstances, fighting this, fighting that, troubled on every side. Like Paul said, you know, but never crushed, never knocked down, but never knocked out. Amen. The things that we face in our life. Loved one, listen, that which is happening around you right now, no matter what it may be, it's not controlling who you are, and it's not controlling your destiny. Do you understand that? Unless you want it to control your destiny. And no one wants to walk away from the Lord. Amen? No, listen, you know, we are not searching for our destiny. We already know our destiny. And you know what the Bible says? Man can't change it. Demons can't change it. And not life. Life issues can't change it at all. The Holy Scriptures of God tell us what our destiny is, and God cannot lie. Amen? Listen, 1 Peter 2:9, it says, you are a chosen generation. Believer, listen to me. God picked you. He picked you. He chose you. He wants you. Jesus told the disciples, he said, you didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit. Amen? Now listen, we've been picked by God. Let me ask you a question. Since you've been picked by God, who can change that? Are you sure? That's right. No one can change it. Do you see your destiny? No matter what is going on around you, if you are really in Christ Jesus, He is the Lord of your life, you have nothing to fear. Do you understand why? God picked you. Well, I'm going to undo what God did. Who can do that? No one can do that. He goes on and Peter says, listen, you're a royal priesthood. That means you've been adopted. You've been given the divine nature of God. You belong to Him. No, you. In other words, in your first birth, when you were born, can you, now they'll say, now you're, you know, oh, my age, 30, and, you know, and can I reverse that? No, I was born. I mean, I can't reverse that. You know, I can't say, well, I want to be unborn. I can't do that. When you're born from above, when you're a new creation, a creature in Christ Jesus, can you now undo that? How do you do that? The Holy Spirit has sealed my heart. My names are written in the Lamb. How do you do that? No one can steal that from you. Do you understand? No, you're not only a chosen generation, you're not only a royal of priesthood, it says you are a holy nation, speaking of the church, meaning that all of us, we are set apart for God's use. Who's going to change that? No one can change that. God says, I set you apart. Who can undo what God has done? You see, our destiny is secure. He says we're His own special people. We're co-heirs with Christ. We're the children of the living God, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Listen now, no one, we all go through things sometimes and we think we're not going to make it. Maybe a horrible divorce, your spouse left you and or whatnot, or finances or whatever, horrible sicknesses. Listen to me, no one and no circumstance can control your destiny, because your destiny is secure in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? Absolutely. Listen, we are seated with Christ. That is our position, okay, in the heavenlies right this minute. Not only that, loved one, the Bible says that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible says that when we see Him, when He comes, when we see Him, we're going to be just like Him. It's secure. It's certain. We are citizens of heaven right this minute. This place is not our home, that which is surrounding you in your life right now, loved one. I'll tell you something, no matter who it is or what it is, it's not controlling your destiny. But you know, Bill, I'm not going to make it. Listen to me. The Bible tells you that you are, if you're in Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6, He, meaning God, who began a good work in you, you are God's good work. He says, will be completed, brought to the finish line, until the very day of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Who can stop that? God is doing a good work in your life. You're being changed from glory to glory to glory. Who can stop it? Well, you can if you want to go out and live in sin. Dear God, who would want to do that? Listen, who can stop God from the good work He's doing in you right now? No one. I look at it and I say, oh, Lord, man, we're so secure. In other words, but you know, Bill, we're guilty. Really? What are we guilty of? You know, yesterday is really funny. Well, no, it wasn't funny. But we use that word, but we don't mean it's funny. I had a thought. I know to some of you go, Bill had a thought. Hello. You know, but I did. I was saying, and for some reason, as I was driving, my mind flashed back. I mean, I was not even in my 20s yet. And it's something that I had done, and it hurt me. I just started hurting in my heart. And I said, oh, God, I can't believe that I did that. You know what I mean? Why would I do that? And I said, I'm so sorry. And then I realized, why are you talking to me about something that is already forgiven, that is under the blood of Jesus, that I have forgotten? Do you understand? Do you know that there is not, every earthly court could say, you know what, you are guilty, you just are guilty. And you know what you have to remember is that the courtroom of heaven says, no, you're not. the courtroom of heaven, God's throne says this, I have declared you innocent because you are now in Christ Jesus. Amen. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:30 something, I don't know, 3. Who shall lay a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, who declares one innocent or innocent as if they had never sinned. Who's going to change that? You see, we worry, oh God, am I really forgiven? He says, do you not know your Bible? Do you not believe my word? I can't lie. You are forgiven. No one can change that destiny. Are you following me? Oh God, I say, you're so good to me, Lord. Listen, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Who can change that? I'm going to stop Jesus right now from being with you. Yep. Who's going to do that? You see, your destiny is in Christ and your destiny is secure. The Bible says God is for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can change that? Do you see what I'm getting at? So, okay, you laid me off. You took 30 years I worked for you. Then you took my retirement. Now it's gone and whatever. Listen. Circumstances don't rule your life. God does. We're all going to go through tough times in our life. Thank God we have Jesus leading him right through there. Amen. And Jesus said, listen, nothing's going to change your destiny. You're with me. You know, the Bible says this. Listen, Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Here it comes. I give them everlasting life. I give it to them. He says, you ready? And they shall, in the Greek, it'd go, they shall never perish. He says, and neither shall anyone, anything, no matter what it is, snatch them out of my hand. And my Father, who is greater than I, he says, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Do you understand? Your destiny is with God. Who's going to take you out of his hand? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They can't do that. Why? God said it won't. It's not going to happen. Yeah, but Bill, we live in the world. Yes, we do. But I'm in the flesh. Yes, you are. And look at the devil. Well, what about him? What about the devil? Are they going to control our destiny? No. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, it says, whoever or whatever, meaning whoever is born of God, whoever is born again, whoever says Jesus is the Lord of my life and believes it in their heart, who confesses him, whoever is born of God, that's the only requirement for the next part. The only requirement, it says, has overcome the world. Amen? Overcome the world that we live in. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith. Oh, loved one, listen. Who is he who overcomes the world? It goes on to say, but he who believes in Jesus, the Son of God. You say, but Bill, what about the devil? Well, what about him? 1 John 4:4 says, and we know that we're of God, and greater is he who is in us than he that's in this world. Amen? No, it's all taken care of. Listen, loved one, we are the light of the world. Who's going to change that? You can change it. You can say, okay, I'm not going to be the light today, but that's your calling. I'm the salt of the earth. You're the preserving factor of this lousy planet that one day is going to perish. Who's going to change that? Not the world, not the devil. Now, you can hide your light. If you do, you're in trouble. You can not be salt, meaning not make the lost thirsty for Jesus. You can do that, but you're in disobedience. But you're still light, and you're still called to be salt. You understand me? That is your destiny. Listen, they could not control Jesus' destiny, and they cannot control whoever it might be, your destiny, and here's the reason why. We are in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that? We're in the one who overcome death and sin, the devil, all of it. He is the head of the church. We are his body. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. No, nothing, absolutely nothing is going to take us out and change our destiny. Now, we can be disobedient to the will of God and the plan of God. God forbid that we should do that. Who would ever want to be disobedient to whatever God wants for your life? That's the best. It's always the best. No, nothing, absolutely nothing can control our destiny because we're in our Lord. You know, please allow me to read from a very modern version, Romans chapter 8, verse 38, 39 there. Listen, let me read this to you. He says, God, I may fall flat on my face. I may fail until I feel old and beaten and done in. Yet your love for me is changeless. All the music may go out of my life. My private world may shatter to dust. And even so, you will hold me in the palm of your steady hand. No turn in the affairs of my fractured life can baffle you. Satan, with all his boasting, cannot distract you. Nothing can separate me from your measureless love. Pain can't, disappointment can't, anguish can't. Yesterday, today, tomorrow can't. The loss of my dearest loved one can't, death can't, life can't, riots, war, insanity, hunger, neurosis, disease, none of these things, or all of them heaped together, can budge the fact that I am dearly loved, completely forgiven, and forever free through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. Listen. Your destiny is secure in Christ. Amen. He did everything that he did. They weren't controlling him. He went to the cross because he wanted to. He just said, yeah, that's right. It's written about me. Don't you know that? You should have known the scriptures to the Jews. Yeah, take it. Put the nails in my hand. Pierce my side. Put the crown upon my head. Say whatever you want to say. I'm getting ready to pay for the ones that we created, my father and I, their sins. I want them to be with me. I want them to share. Listen, Jesus, I want them to share my destiny forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That which is happening around you, Christian, the pain sometimes, the hurt, the disappointment, not knowing which way to go, just the warfare, circumstances, they're not controlling your destiny. Look, let's just finish up by looking at verse 14 of chapter 19. It says, it was a preparation day of the Passover in the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, Pilate did, behold your king. Look at verse 15. And they cried out, oh, away with him, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate said, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priest answered, said, we have no king but Caesar. Then, watch these words. Then he delivered Jesus to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and they did something else. They led him away. Christian, listen to me. Who delivered Jesus? Who took Jesus? Who bound him and led Jesus away? Was it Pilate? Was it the Jews? Was it the Roman soldiers? No. Oh, yeah, I know it was, but no. No, it was God. For God so loved the world, he gave. Jesus said, I love my disciples so much. Don't arrest them. Arrest me. Bind me, but don't bind them. I've come to set them free. Amen. I've come to go upon the cross and bear the sin of the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is in control. But I'll tell you who's out of control. If you're here this morning or maybe listening live, and Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your life, you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart. You've never asked him to be your Lord. I'm telling you what, you don't have any control over your destiny at all. because you're being led by someone that you cannot see and you don't really believe it, but he's right there right now. He hates you. He comes to kill. He comes to steal. He comes to destroy. He wants to lead you. He wants to keep you bound, and he wants to take you to a place where he will end up. You see, if you're not in control of your destiny unless you're in Christ Jesus. You see, because in Adam all die, but in Christ all will be made alive. Here's your destiny. I say it with deep tenderness and no judgment in my heart at all. We're all saved by grace, man. But the problem is this. Your destiny outside of Christ is certain, but it's changeable. In other words, if you don't come to Christ and you die in your sin that Jesus paid for, then you will spend eternity separated from all that God is. And there'll be no light. There'll be no love. There'll be no peace. There'll be no joy. Nothing. God's not there. God's not there. But Jesus came to save you. For this cause I was born. Amen. For this cause I came. If you don't know Christ, you come to him today. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for this word, for this day. Oh Lord God, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and every Christian praying, loved one, listen. Maybe you're visiting, maybe someone brought you, or maybe you don't really know that Jesus is your Lord. You're unsure of your own salvation. Maybe you're just playing Christian or playing church. Listen, God loves you. Come to Christ. You say, Bill, how? If you don't have to get out of your chair, but if you'll just do this, if you will just lift your hand and say, Bill, pray for me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to commit my heart to him, and I want to do it right now. If you'll just lift your hand high, put it right back down. God bless you. That's right. Anyone else, say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus to be the Lord. God bless you. I see that hand. Anyone else, say, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life today. I want him to come and live in my heart. I want to be set free. I don't want to be bound by the devil or anything. I want my destiny sure. Last call. Anyone else, if that's you, just lift your hand high, put it right back down. Those that lifted your hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me. Say, Father, I understand why Jesus was born, why he came from heaven. It was for me. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Father, you promised, and you cannot lie. If I would confess Jesus as my Lord, and truly believe, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved.